Film and music, some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Hey, hey, my friends.
Ho. I just laugh when I see you lip syncing along to your voice in the intro. It's just funny.
I got it, man. I got it. It's like
very funny.
Well, we are on episode 13. Can you believe it?
I hope we don't jinx it.
I know, right? It's not a lucky number for me, nor has it been. But
I try to avoid number 13 whenever I'm in the laundromat. I never go to the dryer number 13. I always go to a different dryer.
Why do they? I mean, like, every building in Manhattan has no 13th floor.
Right.
You know, or every building everywhere, I suppose, right? I know that there's a story behind that. We'll have to figure that out, maybe.
We'll have to get, like, Jamie Lee Curtis on for that one. I Friday the 13th.
I said,
Friday the 13th, a Halloween or something. Sorry.
You know what's so funny that you say Jamie Lee Curtis? When I was a kid, because I was leaner and, you know,
you're still lean.
People used to tell me I looked like her.
Really?
Yeah. I had this, like, long, lean face, and it looked like Jamie Lee Curtis, I guess.
Well, okay, so I always have to tell a story about everything. I was in California, and I was living there for maybe 2 weeks, and I had to go to Venice, right? So I went down to Venice. This
Muscle
is 1984, Beach. Right? And I'm with some friends, and I'm a really good spotter of
you were like 20 or
celebrities,
something, huh?
22. Mm-hmm. I could spot celebrities from a mile away. I used to see them in cars. I saw celebrities everywhere.
Wow, I never.
And I spotted Jamie Lee Curtis, and I almost lost my mind.
She must have been a hot piece of ass back then.
She
huh?
still is. Probably would still go.
Oh,
go out
she's
with her right
gorgeous.
Now.
I love. She's 90. I love how she's gone. Like her white hair, like short white hair. I don't think she's done much plastic surgery, if any. She looks phenomenal. I've always been a huge Jamie Lee Curtis fan.
She was the first celebrity that I spotted in California. Actually, when I think about it, the very first one. There's a long list after that.
She's a cool lady. She seems like a cool lady for sure.
The film she did with Eddie Murphy, when he plays a bum out in the street. What film was that? Oh, my God.
I don't know that.
I hate when I do that. It's really good. Dan Aykroyd's in the film.
What about it?
Well, she's a hooker in the film, and she's topless in one scene. That's what about it.
Oh, boobs. It all comes back to the boobs.
Sorry.
It all comes back to the boobs, people.
I'll find the film I'm talking about.
So guess what? I'm really excited. We're going to pivot here with the Sibeline the Art Gallery, and I have a new show coming up.
Lovely.
Are you going to tell me the movie right as
no,
I start
to pitch
my new
show? No, I want
you to
start talking, and I'm going
to
find it while
so,
you're talking, probably.
My
Sorry.
New show is going to be at the Brooklyn Public Library. We will have our opening reception October 6th. The Brockton Public Library Gallery is on the top floor of the Brockton Public Library. The address is 304 Main Street in Brockton. The dates will be October 6th to October 30th. We will do an opening reception October 6th from 6 to 9, and then a meet the artists on Saturday, October 16th. The name of the show, because
that's like during the week, right? What is that, a Wednesday?
October 6th is a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And then the 16th is a Saturday. Those will be our 2 days where people can meet us. It is going to be a group show between my father, my mother, and myself, Steve.
It's a family affair.
Exactly. And you know what? I couldn't call it that. I couldn't call it that because the last show, the show in August, was called Family Affair. So we did a lot of brainstorming to come up the name. The name is called A Family's Legacy.
Oh.
A Work of Art! Exclamation point.
Sounds good to me.
And what's really cool about it, Steve, is that I'm going to showcase paintings of my dad's, and his is all going to be... So my dad... When I think of my dad, I think of sexuality and sex. I know that sounds kind of bizarre.
Nash
I know. I know.
Our engineer just looked at you like, know. What?
It's just because if you guys don't know my father. Like, all my father tells you about is his conquests. Like, I'm his daughter, and he tells me about his conquests, okay? This is just who he is. This is the dad I got. I you know, you can't pick your family, right? He's a wackadoodle dude, and so...
All artists are like that, though. We're all crazy. Artists are just crazy. The crazier you are, the better an artist you are.
He loves women. Really. He loves women. He loves art. He loves all of that. I hear you.
I would have hung out with your dad and been on the same conquest with him at the time in the East Village.
Oh, you guys would, like, take on Manhattan and then some.
He's probably hanging around in the East Village. I used to live on 10th Street in between 1st and 2nd. I know the neighborhood.
The man is forever trying to pick up a chick. Whether she's 18 or 88.
Eerily familiar.
So his paintings are all going to be about sexuality, boobs. Like, he's painted a zillion boobs. And it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I thought that was, like, apropos. And his former girlfriend of 35 years died, unfortunately, in 2016 of breast cancer. So it will be, like, a tribute to her through that. And, you know, God rest her soul. My mother is like Mother Earth to me. And so she is like the queen of recycling and, you know, feminism and anti-plastic. She's a composter, a gardener. She cooks. She plays Scrabble. She's like she's just full of like trying to save the earth. And so,
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, no.
I'm an environmentalist myself.
She's right there with you, Steve. She's an incredible environmentalist. Like, literally, the woman follows me around the house turning off the lights to save electricity. It drives me crazy, to be honest.
Can I just tell you, it was bugging the hell out of me. They're redoing a house right next door to me, and the contractors leave the lights on all the time for like days.
Yeah, that's not
You know, and I'm like, can't they shut the damn lights off? I mean, you know, it's like people are like that,
people
though.
They don't really care.
We live in a very spoiled... I'm not going to get started on it right now. I'm very
Steve's
down on
fired
it
up today.
I'm down on our country.
Steve's
so this is a good time to tell you that 1983, you probably weren't even born yet, were you?
Yes, I was, Steve. Yes.
Well, you're pretty young.
I had crushes on boys already.
Well,
by
1983, there was a fantastic film called Trading Places.
That's the one.
And Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, and Jamie Lee Curtis. Topless Jamie Lee Curtis. And
boobs,
it was a
comes back to boobs.
Fantastic film.
I love anything
Did you see
with
it?
Eddie Murphy. Oh, eons ago. I can't really remember it right now, but yeah, eons ago.
I'm sorry I couldn't remember the title. Nash and I both remembered at the same time. Yeah. We were showing each other the title.
Yep.
Well, we didn't remember. We looked it up. At least I did. Sorry, though. So Brockton is kind of a tough hood. It used to be. Is it still like that down there?
I really honestly don't know Brockton very well. I mean, the library looks beautiful. The people I met while I, you know, drove down there were lovely.
South Shore kind of, it's kind of.
It's on Route 24.
Yeah. South of Boston.
It's just schlep for me, for sure. It's going to be a good hour and some change without traffic. But hold on. But I want to just say, so the show is, like I said, a group show, and it's going to be representing my mother. My mother does what we call expressive realism. That's the way, you know, her art is. And my dad's more of a contemporary abstract artist. And so I'll be showing a lot of her Fall Harvest pieces. She's got these beautiful, vibrant, realistic life vegetables and fruits, and then also trees and leaves.
Nice.
She's got some nudes that she did, so I'll have some of her nudes alongside of my father's. But the most exciting piece for me, Steve,
is you're going to be nude at the show?
That might be the most exciting to somebody, but not to me. No. Oh my
God. Sorry, I just, you know, trying to add a little humor.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
No, that's funny. That's funny. Nope. I will not be nude at this group show.
And everyone's going to be disappointed now. You know,
oh, God,
the men,
please.
The women, you know.
Oh,
your
no.
father. Oh, I can't believe
oh,
I just said
no.
that.
No, come on now. No,
I'm sorry.
My dad was always a very good father. None of that nonsense. So what's cool about this group show, God, this has gone off the rails already, is that I am going to be designing four pieces for the show, and they are going to be abstract pieces of art, but made into clothing.
Wow, that sounds cool.
I'm really excited. I'm feeling super inspired. Like when I open up the floodgates of the inspiration, you know, channels, it just starts flowing in. So it's the title of the show, as I said, is A Family Legacy, A Work of Art! Exclamation point. And so you will get to see my works of art, and each one are going to represent my family. I'm going to do one that represents my mother, one that represents my father, one that represents me, and one that represents my daughter.
Wow.
So I've got all these themes that I'm coming up with, like my dad equals like fashion to me. Like he used to walk me up and down Madison Avenue and Fifth Avenue, and he was like my big fashion influence. My mother is like the feminist, the vegetarian, the Mother Earth. My daughter is the Tasmanian devil angel. She's a, you know, science lover, dog lover. She's like loves tornadoes. She loves Barbies. So like this garment is literally going to be made up of these things.
It sounds fascinating to me.
So I'm really excited. I'm feeling very inspired. And thanks to Russell Larkin, who walked into my gallery back in May and was really inspired by our family story. He's invited me to be part of this. And he wants me to curate for future shows.
It didn't take long for you to come back from the
the big pivot.
Yeah,
the big
pivot. It's fantastic. Here. I think it's great that you're already back on track.
I hope so. I hope
so. Forget about that other joint. Move on to the next one.
It's been hard, Steve. I got to tell you. Like, I've had a lot of people reach out like, oh, I want to come see your art gallery. I'm like, yeah, well, no longer exists.
It was just a rough break.
So
a lot of people have had a lot of problems
with
a lot
of flooding
and stuff.
We all need to get flood insurance right here,
Al Gore
right
was
now.
Right. Al Gore was right. That's all I got to
say.
In 2000, he predicted that we were going to have serious weather issues. But I don't think he said it was as soon as 2020. I think this is happening sooner than everyone realized it was going to happen. I mean, Louisiana, you might as well forget about a southern coast
of
that state. My
mom, I was trying to get my mom to buy a property that we could live on together because we, you know, live in a two-family home. I was trying to get her to get something in a beach town. And she's like, are you kidding me? Every beach town is going to be underwater in 20 years. She literally said that to me 5 years ago. So she knows. She's following
me.
Yeah,
it's
she's
sad.
With you
it's
on
a
that.
Sad situation. I don't know how we're going to fix that one.
It's pretty crazy. Just to kind of, I don't know, talk about like the tail end of summer, I got to go to Denver, Colorado and Boulder, Colorado.
I love Boulder.
And man, you know,
I love Denver.
My takeaway from going to Colorado is how nice people in Colorado
are. They're mellow.
Oh my God. Such amazingly friendly, nice people. Like I was there going, why the heck do I leave on the East Coast? Like everybody's got like this, like you walked in here from traffic and you're like, you know, I get it. Like we're always surrounded
by traffic.
I'm sure
there's traffic in Denver too. But.
Oh, for sure. But I think everybody's like, yeah, peace, love, and happiness, man.
Well, the weed got there.
Yeah.
The weed became legal for there before anywhere else. So they're ahead of the game.
Certainly,
you know?
Doesn't hurt, does it?
Well, my good
you
friend
You smell
Heather,
it all over the place,
yeah,
too.
My good friend Heather, which who came to your gallery when she was here, she lives out there. She's so mellow. I mean, it's like people out there are just like very cool.
They're just really a different species. I'm not kidding. Like, species. That's a hard word to say. Species.
I remember I went to Boulder when I was on tour with the band, my first time in Boulder, and I loved it there.
Such
beautiful
a great
place.
I got to go to a taco festival that was called Luce Libre, and I had Libre wrestling. Like they had like big old crazy wrestlers. They were doing margaritas and tacos all over, and it was in the foothills of Boulder. It was awesome. I guess they do it every year. It's a taco festival in Boulder. I got to tell you, I literally walked in there and I go, pinch myself. Like, you guys, do you realize where you live? Like, it's so beautiful here. It was a beautiful sunny afternoon. We got there around 4. We stayed until the They closed the gates at 8, and then we went down to Boulderado, the Hotel Boulderado.
And, Boulderado?
Yeah, there's a hotel there called Hotel Boulderado.
Did you stay there?
No. We were just getting, like, dinner, drinks. We sat at the bar. The people there were just so friendly. Again, I was like, do you guys know these people? No, this is just how friendly they are. Like, this is just how friendly
Lucha
they are.
Lucha Libre, by the way. Those are the wrestlers that wear masks, right? I love that.
It was so bizarre.
They're crazy. The way they move around. They're so fast and everything.
I mean, we were there for the tacos and the margs. I'm not going to lie. And they had lots of tequila tasting.
You were there
tasting.
For the margaritas? No.
Surprise,
really?
Surprise. I had some good ones, too.
I'm sure you did.
And then I also got to go to Estes Park. So I got to tell you that in college, I got to go to Estes Park with some of my best friends, Christy and Stacy from Syracuse. Thank you. And I remember we were in this house that was on a mountain, and we were surrounded by mountains. From every angle, you were looking at a beautiful mountainscape. And I was just like, I am in the most beautiful place that I've ever been in the United States. Like, I have to get back here. And this was like a moment for me 30 years later, something like that-ish, maybe 25 years later, I finally got to get back to Estes, and I brought Josie, and we went horseback riding from a place called Sombrero Stables, where they set you up on a horse, and they take you along this path on a mountain, and the horses were just so chill, and you know, I've never really done anything like that. Josie certainly hasn't. And it was just
sounds
really
like you had a
peaceful.
Great trip.
It was really great. I did a lot of shopping in Estes because I wanted to support. I've supported all the local people. They had a great little farmer's market kind of thing happening. And then, you know, I closed out my show by going to the Red Rocks and seeing the Black Crowes. So
you did.
I did. Surprise, surprise. I know we've talked about it, but it was such an epic show. And you know what? Chris Robinson was so nice to his brother. Like, they were like, clearly, I don't know, the brother didn't seem as like in love with his brother that Chris did, but he made reference to his brother multiple times, thanked him, gave props for him. They even hugged at the end of the show. Like, it was really good to see. It was refreshing.
I just thought of something that would be funny. Imagine if you took the two brothers and the Black Crowes and the two brothers from Oasis, because they fight with each other all the time too. Okay. And you had like a brawl with the brothers against the brothers. I mean, I don't know what.
Maybe they should do a Lucha Libre wrestling match,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they can wear masks.
There you go.
The Oasis versus the Black Crowes.
So a band called Dirty Honey opened up for the Black Crowes and, I don't know.
I checked them out because you told me to do, and they're like an 80s Guns N' Roses ripoff band,
for
basically.
Sure.
So
I was like, oh, God, get these guys. Pull the freaking
I didn't care for
the
original
the
one, so I wouldn't like the imitation one very much either. But, you know, they're a straightforward rock band, so good for them, though. I think anybody that wants to go out there and play live music and do what they want to do is fine in my book.
I would say
they must be friends with the Black Crowes.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they were the appropriate band to open up for the Black Crowes. I mean, it definitely fit. I feel like sometimes you go to a concert and it's like, I mean, like when I went to see Gary Clark Jr. open for Alabama Shakes, who opened for Beck. Now, Gary Clark Jr. and Alabama Shakes makes sense, but then them opening for Beck didn't make sense for me. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of needs, you know, it has to kind of go.
I guess they wanted to make sure they sold tickets for that show, man, you know?
Well, this was an outdoor festival down in Camden, New
Jersey.
That's
probably, festivals always mix it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about something when we talk about Angel Olsen and Sharon Ant later. We're still going to do that, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to talk about a festival.
So I think I'm going to ebb into fashion here because what was interesting to me about Colorado versus, you know, the East Coast, everybody out there is in super casual athletic wear, right? Like, it's just their Tevas and their, you know, hiking boots and, you know, Columbia outerwear. And, you know, it's not really high fashion in my mind. It's very casual, like hiking kind
of
gear.
Don't forget, there's a lot of people that move to Colorado, like my friend Heather, because they're skiers, you know?
Right, of course.
Because skiing in that area is huge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I have Skeet Vale.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's a place that you go and do things. You are an outdoorsy person if you live in Colorado. Plus, it's sunny 360 days out of the year, right?
Even when it's snowing.
Exactly. It's like I went there in February a number of years ago, and it was 72 degrees at one point.
Wow.
And we were sunbathing. I mean, just because it was February here, I wanted to be outside soaking in the rays, right? But I will say, I was joking with Josie, and I was like, "Hey, kiddo, so what do you think about Colorado? Do you like it?" She's like, "Yeah, Mom, I want to come to college here." I'm like, "Sweet, let's do it."
University of Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, go to Boulder. And actually, a couple of my friends just had kids. They just dropped their kids off.
That would be a great place for a kid to go to school, I think.
And then I'll follow her out there, and I'll retire in, Boulder.
I could see you living in Colorado.
I'd go to Estes Park in a heartbeat. Live in the mountains. Have a fire every day. Maybe go skiing. Maybe go house.
Check out some Lucha Libre wrestling.
Because if you had asked me 20 years ago, there is no way in hell I would have ever retired in Colorado. But now I just want to be.
Seems like a safe place.
Peace, love, and happiness, man.
Isn't it funny saying it seems like a safe place when some of the most tragic shootings have happened out there?
Yeah.
And in Boulder, a lunatic went in a supermarket and shot a bunch of people.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It really didn't
make sense to anyone when it happened.
Yeah.
Really
cray,
didn't.
Cray. So as far as fall fashion goes, I didn't see any of it in Boulder, Colorado or Denver, Colorado. That's my point. But I did some research and I wanted to share with our listeners what I'm noticing for fall fashion. You know, here it is early September. All the stores start to receive fall in July and August, and we start to see the trends kind of hitting the streets now. I mean, it's still going to be 80 degrees here in Boston today, so it's hard for those of us who want to, jump into our fall fashion. But I really get there more in the end of September. And today, actually, I wore this emerald green shirt because one of the trends I talked about last episode was these vibrant, saturated colors that are big for fall. I'm going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly with fashion trends today. The good. The really good that I'm excited about is dramatic knits. So what that means is really chunky, oversized sweaters. So for those of you who want to see the woman's curves, sorry, fellas. It ain't going to happen in the oversized sweater. So we're looking at heavily cabled knits, heavily cabled sweaters, textured sweaters. I've noticed color blocking on sweaters. That's when you have multiple chunks of color in something. So the body of the sweater is red and the sleeves are, white. And then there's a little trim around the, sleeve that is green or something, yellow or something like that. So it's cool. I like this trend. I mean, sweaters are always a part of fall. That's always a big thing to obviously pull out of your closet, and you have your sweaters from the year before, and you have your cashmere, and you have your wool and your acrylic. But this year it's looking like very oversized, heavy knits. And what I would like to say to the women out there who's going to wear this trend, manage your proportions, because when you wear a big oversized sweater, you don't want to wear big wide legs jeans or wide leg pants, because then you're just going to look really oversized. Wear a slimmer bottom half if you're going to wear the oversized sweater. So wear a nice legging or a nice jegging, something that kind of slims out your legs so that you can, wear some nice boots. And then from that trend, you're going to see some sweater vests, because we talked about vests last episode, and now we're going to see the sweater vests coming into play as well. And so that means no sleeves on the sweater, and it's usually going to be a V-neck. Maybe it's tight-fitted and you wear a white blouse or a blouse underneath it, or, a white, crisp white shirt, and the shirt hangs out at the bottom and you roll up your sleeve cuffs. But you'll definitely be seeing sweater vests. And I've always loved sweater vests. I think it's an adorable trend. You can wear it kind of punk rock. You've seen punk rockers wear this trend for many years. You see prepsters wear it. It can be worn in all genres.
Prepsters.
Prepsters, yes.
I like
preppy
that.
Prepsters. And punk rock punkers.
You don't find many prepsters in this building.
No. I don't believe I've seen a single prepster walk through here ever.
It's
no.
funny because we're right next to Harvard, so you they don't make it down
Harvard here. And Tufts and all
right.
that, yeah. And then I would say, so that's my good trends. That's like a thumbs up. When you look at the, you know, thumbs down and then the thumb in between, the one halfway through, I'm going to go ahead with blush pink, pastel pink. The, you know, we're coming off of this big bubblegum trend from summer, so they just lightened the shade a bit. I love blush pink. I don't love pastel pink. But blush pink, you're seeing it in head-to-toe outfits. You're seeing it. I mean, I don't know. Keep an eye out for this blush pink and this pastel pink. I mean, if you want to wear it, wear it. If it's a color that works for you, wear it, of course. You know, I mean, I'm not a pink person these days anymore, unless it's more saturated, heavy, you know, fuchsia and magenta and that sort of thing. But blush pink, pale pink, all shades of pink. It seems to be a pretty big thing that's happening on all the runways, and it's kind of going to go into the fast fashion worlds. I'm sure it's full of H&M and Zara, and you know, all those guys probably have tons of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The ugly. I don't get it. I'll never get it. It's double denim, folks. Double denim. That means you wear denim on the top and denim on the bottom. A.K.A.
You mean like a denim jacket and denim pants?
Yes, sir. Okay. And A.K.A. the Canadian tuxedo. This is what people have called this for years and years and years. I don't know why. Perhaps the Canadians always wore double denim. But I have cringed at this my whole life. Like, you can't wear double denim unless you're all in the same shade. Or you're all in white denim, or you're all in one shade denim. You can wear dark denim head to toe. I don't know, like a jumpsuit or something. But no, they're talking about like a denim shirt with a denim pair of pants. And then it's like, if you're going to do it, you got to mix up the shades. So you got your acid watch jeans with your dark denim shirt, or your acid watch jean jacket with your dark denim pants. It doesn't make sense to me, but hey, if you're a streetwear, like, you know, skater or punk rocker, and you want to mix it up with some chains and some, you know, I don't know, like rock and roll t-shirt underneath, maybe it'll work. I mean, just maybe.
Can we do like a future segment, worst dressed celebrities? Because I think that would be
fun. Oh my God, yes. Worst dressed and best dressed, because I always want to tip my hat to the ones who do it well.
Best dressed are easy to find, but worst dressed are more fun.
Oh, for sure. All right. We can do that. You want me to come in?
There are a lot of celebrities there.
All right, you got to come in with your worst dressed, and I'll come in with my worst dressed.
You wouldn't expect it.
I love it.
It's like Johnny Depp, for example, to me, always looks great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You never have to worry about someone like that. But then there's other people that don't even give a shit.
Do you know that there was the music awards on last night or something? Yeah. And there's some bad...
Mr. Music Man didn't even know that. Music awards were on?
I don't know. Do you know?
It wasn't the Grammys, was it?
MTV Music Awards.
MTV still around?
MTV. Wow. What was their slogan back in the day? MTV Music Awards were on, and I'm sure I have some more Facebook messages, but one of my guy friends from Syracuse, who I'm friends with on Facebook, he was like tagging me in some of them, and I was just like, oh dear God, just because you're a musician doesn't give you carte blanche on dressing like a mad person. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
We've talked
some of the
about
stuff.
This before. You see, I don't like the way Billie Eilish dresses at all, and I hate to pick on a 19-year-old girl, but I'm not into that whole style that she's got going on, you know? It's like, I like more flamboyant. Like, you always talk about Gary Clark. He knows how to dress, you know?
He is.
You know,
one
Jagger,
cool.
Bowie, you know, they knew how to dress,
yes.
You know? I mean,
yes.
Some people just... The whole t-shirt and jean thing of the grunge bands and all that, they kind of ruined everything. You know, I used to like going to see bands that looked cool.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get these bands that came out and they all started looking like regular guys.
Right.
And
just
I didn't
slumpy.
Really like it.
Yeah. Well, I will say, oh boy, what
Little Nas?
Little Nas X. He showed up looking like Prince. Prince would wear this outfit. He is in pastel purple.
Little Nas X.
So he's wearing a double-breasted, like, satin lapel. Probably, it looks like it's got sequins or beading all over it. He's got his nails painted. He's got the same color cowboy boots, or maybe those are Fry boots, with a, like, half-skirt dress with pants underneath. And, wow, I mean, if he's non-binary, I'm going to tip my hat because, I mean, it's in a ridiculous outfit, but it makes more sense to me, and it's the Music Awards.
So Lil Nas X, Olivia Rodrigo, and Kacey Musgraves were among the best dressed at the 2021 VMAs. I'm stealing
this. Well, I'm so happy for Olivia Rodriguez. Look
page
at that.
Page6.com.
Look at that. She gets props on, you know.
But I liked Little Nas X's outfit. It's a toss-up for me.
I mean, listen, for me, that's a completely over-the-top, but it's totally appropriate.
I like over-the-top.
Yeah.
I like totally over-the-top. Prince was over-the-top. You have to like over-the-top.
Exactly, and that was a total Prince outfit. Like, to me, he's tipping his hat to Prince right there,
like, 100%. You know, Elton John and David Bowie and people like that, they were over-the-top, you know? Way over-the-top.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there is a way to do—you got to pull up. There's this woman who got an award, and she's wearing this, like— cylinder.
She didn't make the top three on page6.com, so we don't care.
Ridiculous. And it was like this bubble thing that she was dressed in. It was so bizarre. And that's what me and my friends
Cher,
were,
you know,
like,
Cher,
laughing about.
Cher used to go way over the top. I loved her.
Of course.
And Chaka
Elton
Khan.
Yeah.
Who else am I thinking of? There are a lot of great... I mean, unfortunately, it's all been toned down. So when I see these young people doing it, it gets me excited.
Mm-hmm.
Because why tone it down, man?
Okay.
You want to look different.
I get it.
You want to be outrageous.
I get it. Absolutely. I get it. I think that when it comes to red carpet, you can do anything, right? But I'll find this outfit because it was so ridiculous.
I mean, at the Oscars, I thought Frances McDormand's outfit, I did not like it at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certain celebrities that don't seem to give a shit what they look like when they go out in public. And, you know, hey, you know what? There's a lot of people that go out in their pajama bottoms, you know?
All day long. Yep.
Yeah.
Look. All right, come on. Look at this person. I don't know who she is. I don't know what. They were clearly getting an award.
Sibylline showing Nash. Now she's showing me. Oh, my God.
I do not like that at all. She's literally in this.
I don't like
bubble
it. I don't know who she is, but
thing.
I don't like it.
I don't.
And no one knows what we're talking about.
I'm sorry, people. We'll have a picture up on our YouTube page. And then there was a dance that was like Furbies. It was like this. They had somebody dancing with a bunch of furry head dressed animals.
I'm wondering if the MTV crowd is a bunch of young people.
Of course,
because I didn't watch the MTV Awards, so
I think we're gonna have to
know.
Watch it and then come back.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
I want
to go see Olivia Rodrigo.
Of course,
up there with that outfit. That
so
was
next
fantastic.
Week, next week we'll watch the MTV and we'll do a little recap on it. Sorry, people.
Okay.
Sorry, Steve and I are a little older than our MTV
days. We're geeking out.
We're
on the
older
youngsters.
Than our MTV days. One thing I want to give a big shout out for fashion people. Remember how I talked about I wanted to cover the whole thing about Gucci, about the fact that there's a big movie coming out with Lady Gaga. She plays the matriarch
yes.
of House of
yeah,
Gucci or
yeah.
the wife
yeah.
of the
yeah.
Gucci guy. It actually isn't coming into the theaters until November 24th. I have to wait until November 24th to see this. It's called The House of Gucci, and it is a whole big Lady Gaga, you know, take on the House of Gucci and the whole story. There's a lot of, like, blood, sex, you know.
There's someone right there who I can take her outrageousness yes. when it yes. comes to fashion.
100%.
I don't care what she wears.
Yep. I have uber respect for Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I really like her.
And I have uber respect for her as an actress, as a singer, as a person, as an advocate. She's doing something with her clout, you know, with her celebrityism. I give her a lot of credit.
She's kind of like a Freddie Mercury to me, you know what I mean? Oh. Plus, Gaga comes from the Queen song, Radio Gaga, when I heard that the first time.
Is that where she got it from?
Yeah. I
wondered.
Like, that's cool.
But she also, her name is like Christine, her last name is something with a G-A.
She's got to be Italian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wanted to do a couple little touches on fashion there. Those are the three fashion trends that I'm going to talk about today. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
We love all your fashion trends that you talk about.
We didn't really go into the denim thing, but it is what it is.
You don't need to because I don't like denim either.
I mean, you could pull off a denim jean jacket for sure.
She's probably going to bring me one next week. See,
I
finally brought
ready,
Sibylline a gift today. Yeah. She usually has a gift from me every episode, but I gave her one of my paintings today because she likes the color.
He did. He gave me this beautiful painting that's like yellow and orange and
love
like this. I
love yellow.
I do love yellow and I love orange and I love that like kind of aqua blue. And he signed it. Oh,
Only a Dream.
Wow. I didn't even read that earlier.
Only
a Dream.
I couldn't remember the name of my painting.
Only a Dream is the painting that he gave me. And he didn't even like say it, but it's my belated birthday gift. So there you go.
It is your birthday gift. I took it right off the wall of my show to give to you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
That's kind of a lie because the whole show is gone now.
I'm going to go hang it up in my house. I'm very excited to do that. Absolutely.
Are we going to talk about, you wanted to talk about sex life, you know, and you could talk mostly about it and I'll give you my take on it. But, you know, I think
Netflix
you liked it.
Netflix new show called Sex Life. People, if you haven't seen this and you want to get horny, then I'd say go ahead and turn on Sex Life. Because I was like, oh, goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. It's basically a soft porn. Let's just call it what it is.
Sarah Shai, is that how you say her name?
I'm not 100% sure.
S-H-A-I-H. She was great in Person of Interest. I watched all five seasons of that. She really gets down and dirty on this show. Yeah.
Down and dirty and a lot of naked.
Yes.
And so do her two co-stars, the two men who I don't know their names, nor do I care, but I liked watching them.
Yeah, it was very, the thing, you know, it's not one of my favorite shows. I'm going to be honest with you here because I've been hooked up. I've been watching You lately, and to me, it's the best show I've seen on Netflix yet. I know I say that every time a new show comes
you
on.
You do.
But You, it's through the eyes of the evil person, and you fall in love with the evil person, which is bizarre that they can get you to do that. That's what they do.
I want to fall in love with
But
the
he's
evil
such
person.
A he's got such a fun personality and everything, but he does evil things. I'm not going to give the whole show away. But getting back to Sex Life,
okay, do you want to know my take on Sex Life? I know you didn't really enjoy it very much.
I haven't watched the whole series.
Oh, okay. Well, from beginning to end, really what I think the big takeaway for me as a mom was is the woman who goes from this, you know, career woman, going out all the time, having a great time with her bestie, having great times going to see live music, going and rubbing some elbows, going to art exhibits, going and doing this and having this
New York.
You know, having this like lifestyle of just like impulsive, you know, fun, you know, like I'm gonna, you know, just spur of the moment, go do something. Once you get married or don't get married, but decide to get a family and have a family, once you have children, that goes out the mother effing window. It really does. And if it doesn't, then you end up like me and you end up divorced because somebody wanted to settle in and somebody didn't. And so what happens here is you see her as she's got like a 3-year-old and an infant. And now she, you know, you get these little blurbs of her like life before. And now you start to see her life as a new mom And they live in the suburbs, and they have this beautiful home. She's got this beautiful husband that goes off to work every day in his gorgeous suit. And he, you know, but he comes home, and he's like, how's my beautiful girl? How's my beautiful girl? And he goes running up to his daughter and, like, starts to cuddle her. And she's just standing there like, do I exist? Hello, do I exist? I know I'm still in my pajamas, and it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, but I haven't even gotten out of my pajamas because I'm taking care of two kids. Like, I related to that so much. You feel like you disappear. And also, your entire focus is raising this little being that you don't know how to do it. Like, there's no, like, there's plenty of manuals, but you have to kind of at some point go off your gut instinct. And so she starts to mourn the loss of her single life. And she starts to mourn the loss of, you know, that vibrant. And she's a very sexual person. And her husband doesn't know that side of her.
Until he finds her laptop computer with her story about the record company guy that she was banging.
Right. So she starts to write this journal about her love life and her previous relationship, and she starts to fantasize more and more and more about it, and so it's all these like flashbacks to that. And I don't know, man, it was really on point for a lot of us women that have gone through that.
I can see how women would probably enjoy the show more than a man would.
Well, because you said you saw it from the perspective of, oh my God, I could never read that from my wife and then like turn around and kind of try to get in on the action like he did. Like,
yeah, well, here, and this is coming from someone who doesn't really think monogamy is really, I mean, I don't think monogamy works. I really don't. I have parents that have been married forever, but I think a lot of people just can't just be with one person.
It's very hard to be with one person for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's why I've never gotten married, and I've always, you know, been non-monogamous. You know, I've had
relationships. But when you're in a relationship, are you monogamous in your relationship?
Until I have to move on, and then it falls apart. Mm-hmm. But women are like that too. You know, there's a lot of women that cheat and do
but this
things
is what
that
was
men
interesting
always get accused of.
Right,
you know?
Of course. And I, yes, we all know them, right? I mean, that was the one thing about
some of us really know them well.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I mean, I will admit right now, I have had affairs in the past when I've been single with married women. Mm-hmm. I didn't start it. It just happened, you know. I don't have one going on right now, so no one will be looking for me. But it has happened in the past because women get dissatisfied with men settling the same way you're talking
about. I will tell
about.
You that when I said my vows in front of a priest and a minister and a church full of people, I held my end of my vows for 25 years. I never cheated.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, you're a rarity, I think. I really do. I think
I never
you're a rarity.
Cheated, and I will say, and I'll tell you why. There is a backstory to that. My very first boyfriend in eighth grade cheated on me, and he stood me up at a Valentine's Day dance, and it really scarred me for life. And I thought to myself in that moment, having watched my parents have a tumultuous relationship, I decided in that moment, I'm going to cheat on every guy I ever date so they can't do it to me first. And I cheated on every single boy I dated from that point forward because I didn't want to get hurt first. Now, that's not healthy. So when I met my daughter's dad, I decided that I had to prove to myself, because I saw him as a potential husband, I had to prove to myself that I could do that and that I would not cheat on him. And I didn't. And I'm very proud of that.
Hey, listen, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I don't think that people should be out there cheating. I'm just saying that they do.
Yeah.
And I do know other people that haven't cheated that have been in long relationships. Mm-hmm. Well, you think they haven't. That's the thing. You don't always really know. Right. But I believe you, though.
Yeah, no, I have no reason to lie, you know, but it is what it is. Anyway, I mean, I think in general, this show is just, it's relatable from the woman's perspective. It really is.
From
like the new mom.
That's
mourning.
Probably why I didn't enjoy it as much as you did. You know, I mean, I enjoyed the sex scenes, but you know.
I gotta tell you, the sex scenes.
They're pretty
just go on Pornhub and see more sex if you want.
Woo! No. See, this is the thing. I don't necessarily turn on porn. So for me, this was porn. And I was like, well, I guess I know what I'll just turn on when I need to, you know, get inspired.
That's a lot of info. Okay.
So we talked about real boobs versus fake boobs. And you noticed that this gal
had a boob job. Yeah, absolutely.
See, I didn't think she looked like she had a boob job, but Steve swears. Yeah, he swears that she had a boob job. But you told me something interesting. You prefer real boobs versus fake boobs.
Absolutely, and I've had my share of both, so I know what they're both like, and I do prefer.
I mean, I've never touched a fake boob.
You have it? That's weird. I always picture women in the ladies' room feeling each other's boobs.
Well,
of course, that's how men think, you know? Oh, can I feel your boobs? Yeah, okay.
You know what's interesting is never in my 47 years of life did I ever do that until this summer when two of my best friends came up.
It felt and your boobs.
One of
See?
Us, we were talking about boobs and the density of boobs. And one of them has a reduction and the other two of us have giant boobs. And so, I don't know, we started touching each other's boobs. Because, like, I was like, dude,
and
this
that's
what one
I,
boob.
Will you please stop doing that?
Nope.
We don't have video to see what I have to see right now.
I'm picking up my boob, slinging it over my shoulder.
Okay, we've reached the low point.
The high point, depending on which way. The nipple point. The apex. Reaching the apex. Oh, man.
And, you know, I don't want any women out there that have had breast surgery to like be upset at me saying that. I'm just telling you that it's not like I would not go near a woman because she had fake boobs, but I kind of prefer real ones, you know? And I don't have, I'm not talking huge, giant breasts either. I've always preferred, I think you probably know this because you know me, I'm an ass man anyways.
Oh.
But, you know, boobs are like, you know, I like them.
I think, well, let me tell you, from a woman's perspective, we like our boobs to be, you know, played with. Nipples. Nipples and breasts need to be, you know, boobs are important. Boobs, okay, so I always joke, are you a boob man or an ass man? So you're an ass man.
Yes,
okay.
But I love boobs too. And
right.
I love
lips. So you don't
lips.
Discriminate.
I love eyes. I love hair. I love armpits. I love legs. I love feet. I love everything about women.
I love earlobes. How about that?
I love
nibble
them.
On your earlobes. Armpits? Do you kiss the armpit? Do you like a stinky
I've been
armpit?
There. Yeah, I love.
This
is really something
normal.
Crazy to admit, but I only live once and I'm getting older. But I love when women work out and then you have sex right after they work out. Hot.
Interesting. I've heard this before.
It's true.
I've heard this before.
Some people don't want to go near the sweat and the smell, but it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. Mm. I would not want to work out. I would not want to work out on the bed or in the bedroom or around the bedroom if you've just worked
this
out.
This is what you get for saying, let's talk about a show called Sex Life.
Exactly. That's the whole
Can we
point.
Talk about music for a few
okay.
minutes before
Let's
we bail out of here? Because I'm getting all like hot and bothered over
hot
here.
Hot and bothered. Sex Life. Go see it. I love it. Watch it. Click on it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was listening to Quentin Tarantino on my way over here doing an interview, and he was talking about the downfall of theaters and how he thinks it lessened, and already because of the pandemic, but he doesn't think theaters are going to last a long time. Pretty soon, everyone's just going to be
Netflix.
Watching all these different channels. They're all
Hulu,
making
Netflix,
all these movies
all the,
now,
yeah.
getting the
yeah.
big stars and everything.
Yeah.
So theaters are like in trouble.
Oh, they! I think they've been in trouble since before COVID, but especially
just
COVID,
like rock
you know?
Clubs, rock clubs, theaters. It's a shame what's happening. People
oh,
have
I don't
become
want rock
slaves
clubs to
of
go
technologies.
Out.
You know, everyone's become a slave of technology. I can't even go a minute without looking at my cell phone.
Have
you
ever
ridiculous.
Gotten one of those apps about how much you look at your phone? Like, there's
yeah.
an app that tracks.
Yeah,
how much
mine's
on your
tracked,
phone.
And it's too much.
It's awful.
Too
it's
much.
Awful. And you know what? I'm raising a kid in this environment too, and it's really challenging.
So I told you about this song, Like I Used To, by Sharon Van Etten and Angel Olsen, and you checked it out,
mm-hmm.
right? Did you like it?
I did. I did very much. It's chill, kind of easy listening for me.
Almost alt country. Well, they're both kind of alt country in a way.
Yeah, you said alt country to me, and I guess I didn't get the alt country
ish
thing from you, but
I mean,
go
they
ahead.
Fall in
tell
the
us
indie,
about it.
They're indie, you know, they're
yeah,
very
yeah, it's
indie
more
rock.
Independent.
Pitchfork, who I like to see what they're doing because they're like a good barometer for indie metal. They called these two of the best American songwriters of the last decade. And Angel Olsen started only in 2016. She had that hit song, Shut Up, Kiss Me. I don't know if you heard that. Hmm. Really good. And Sharon Van Etten's been around a little longer. She debuted in 2009, but some of my good friends really like her. She had a really big album in 2019, Remind Me Tomorrow, and the song 17. Just by coincidence, this weekend, the Pitchfork had their festival, and they broadcast the whole thing from Chicago. They broadcast the whole festival live on YouTube. And I luckily went on YouTube right when Angel Olsen came on, and I watched her whole set. Fantastic.
Awesome.
She's really, really great. I highly recommend both Angel Olsen and Sharon Van Etten. They're both on the Jaguar record label, and that's how they got together and wrote this song Like I Used To.
Yeah, I really felt like it was an easy song to listen to. It's easy on my ears, and I could tell it was going to be a radio hit. Just
going
to
be one of the biggest songs of the year, I think. I think it's already regarded as one of the biggest songs. It's probably going to go against like Olivia Rodrigo and Billie Eilish for Song of the Year.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that big. At the, like, any of the music stuff?
Grammys or whatever.
Oh, wow.
I don't like, I'm not, the Oscars are the only award show that I make sure I don't miss. Sometimes the Golden Globes. But a lot of the music award shows have bummed me out for various reasons. It's weird. I spent my whole career in the music industry and I don't really like the Grammys.
I would agree because there's just garbage.
It's you know, when they let a clown like, you know, what happened years ago when
Kanye West
goes on stage and tries to take the award away from Taylor Swift, that kind of was a low point for me. After that, I was like, screw this shit.
Oh, I have disliked him since that day. I will never support him. I will never support Yeezy. I will never support any of the things he does fashion-wise. Because he's a garbage human being for doing that.
Didn't his wife end up dumping him? I mean, they separated now?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't care about the whole world of Kardashian nonsense. Well, instead of my usual, you know, tip your hat to like a positive affirmation, you know, I wanted to dedicate this show in the memory of 9/11, which was 2 days ago. And all of the
years.
Lost lives that and the people that are still suffering from, you know, all the smoke inhalation and the chemicals and all the stuff. I mean, listen, I went to a wedding that weekend after 9/11 after we still had a Brooklyn apartment. And when we drove over the Verrazano Bridge, the smell, Steve, I still remember the smell. It smelled like, I don't know if I should even say it, but it was so powerful. And that was 4 days later, 4 or 5 days later. I had just moved up to Boston. My ex-husband was in New York City. That was his last week of work. He worked at 42nd and 2nd. And so he was right next to the UN buildings. And it was a really, really hard time in our lives just going through that, what we went through on, you know, our departure of New York City. I have some wonderful memories of hanging out at the World Trade Centers and, you know, seeing some live music outside of the World Trade Centers on the night that we got engaged. We danced at Windows on the World. Like, the World Trade Centers represented so much of what Manhattan was to me in New York City. But, you know, there's obviously all these memories of the 20-year, and I know people who lost loved ones, and I just wanted to tip our hat to, you know, the 20th anniversary of this horrible day.
Before I give out all the info, I just want to say one thing. I was at the World Trade Center 2 days before 9/11. I was with a band that played at the Knitting Factory, and one of the members of the band never saw the World Trade Center. We walked down there on September 9th. Wow. Never forget that. You know, I want to give all our contact out.
Yes, please.
I think we forgot to do that last time.
Yes, yes.
The email address is seamscssr@gmail.com. We have a Patreon page, and, you know, please consider helping support this show at patreon.com/seamstome. And there's also an Instagram page, @seamstomeSibSteve. I know you hate it when people call you Sib. And a dog has just appeared out of nowhere, Coco.
Coco Chanel in the house.
Oh, my God. That's what you named your dog after, Coco Chanel.
Of course I did.
All right. That's all I got.
Wait, we also have a YouTube page.
Oh, yes, which hasn't been updated in a while, but we
will. Oh, it hasn't? I was wondering.
No, because we've been deserted by the guy that was doing the YouTube page, so we have to come up with another plan on that.
I see.
Will.
Okay. So,
but a lot of the shows are up there in audio form.
Why don't you guys go ahead and, you know, if you enjoy the show, we would really appreciate getting some support. We pay for it out of our pocket, and we would love to know that you want to hear more of this, and so would Coco. Right, Coco? Woof!
Bye.
Bye.
So let the times roll, feel it in your soul. Take another round and let the good times roll.
Voices recorded at Voice Motel, voicemotel.com. Your complete podcast recording experience. Located in Union Square, Somerville, Massachusetts.